Chapter 86. Mr. Montague at home, and Mr. Jonas Chuzzlewit at home, there were many powerful reasons for Jonas Chuzzlewit being strongly prepossessed in favor of the scheme which its great originator had so boldly laid open to him. But three among them stood prominently forward. Firstly, there was money to be made by it. Secondly, the money had the peculiar charm of being sagaciously obtained at other people's cost. Thirdly, it involved much outward show of homage and distinction. A board being an awful institution in its own sphere, and a director a mighty man. To make a swinging profit, have a lot of chaps to order about, and get into regular good society by one and the same means, and them so easy to one's hand, ain't such a bad lookout, apostrophe thought Jonas. The latter considerations were only second to his avarice, for, conscious that there was nothing in his person, conduct, character, or accomplishments to command respect, he was greedy of power, and was, in his heart, as much a tyrant as any laurel conqueror on record. But he determined to proceed with cunning and caution, and to be very keen on his observation of the gentility of Mr. Montague's private establishment. For it no more occurred to this shallow knave that Montague wanted him to be so, or he wouldn't have invited him, while his decision was yet in abeyance, than the possibility of that genius, being able to overreach him in any way, pierced through his self-deceit by the inlet of a needle's point. He had said, in the outset, that Jonas was too sharp for him, and Jonas, who would have been sharp enough to believe him in nothing else, though he had solemnly sworn it, believed him in that, instantly. It was with a faltering hand, and yet with an imbecile attempt at a swagger, that he knocked at his new friend's door in Pall Mall, when the appointed hour arrived. Mr. Bailey quickly answered to the summons. He was not proud, and was kindly disposed to take notice of Jonas, but Jonas had forgotten him. Mr. Montague at home? ? I should hope he was at home, and waiting dinner too, ? said Bailey, with the ease of an old acquaintance. Will you take your hat up along with you, or leave it here? ? Mr. Jonas preferred leaving it there. The old name, I suppose? ? said Bailey, with a grin. Mr. Jonas stared at him in mute indignation. What, don't you remember old Mother Todgers? ? said Mr. Bailey, with his favorite action of the knees and boots. Don't you remember my taking your name up to the young ladies, when you came a-courting there? A reglar scaly old shop, warn't it? Times has changed, ain't they? I say how you've growed. ? Without pausing for any acknowledgement of this compliment, he ushered the visitor upstairs, and having announced him, retired with a private wink. The lower story of the house was occupied by a wealthy tradesman, but Mr. Montague had all the upper portion, and splendid lodging it was. The room in which he received Jonas was a spacious and elegant apartment, furnished with extreme magnificence, decorated with pictures, copies from the antique in alabaster and marble, china vases, lofty mirrors, crimson hangings of the richest silk, gilded carvings, luxurious couches, glistening cabinets inlaid with precious woods, costly toys of every sort in negligent abundance. The only guests besides Jonas were the doctor, the resident director, and two other gentlemen, whom Montague presented in due form. My dear friend, I am delighted to see you. Jobling, you know, I believe? ? I think so, ? said the doctor pleasantly, as he stepped out of the circle to shake hands. I trust I have the honor. I hope so. My dear sir, I see you well. Quite well? That's well. Mr. Wolfe, said Montague, as soon as the doctor would allow him to introduce the two others, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Mr. Pip, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Both gentlemen were exceedingly happy to have the honor of making Mr. Chuzzlewit's acquaintance. The doctor drew Jonas a little apart, and whispered behind his hand. Men of the world, my dear sir, men of the world, Ham. Mr. Wolf, literary character you need mention at Remarkably Clever Weekly Paper. Oh, remarkably clever. Mr. Pip, theatrical man, capital man to know. Oh, capital man. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Wolf, folding his arms and resuming a conversation which the arrival of Jonas had interrupted. And what did Lord Nobley say to that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, apostrophe, returned Pip, with an oath. He didn't know what to say. Same, sir, if he wasn't as mute as a poker. But you know what a good fellow Nobley is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the best fellow in the world. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Wolf. It has only last week that Nobley said to me, by gad, Wolf, I've got a living to bestow, and if you had but been brought up at the university, strike me blind, if I wouldn't have made a parson of you. Apostrophe, just like him, apostrophe, said Pip with another oath. And he'd have done it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a doubt of it, apostrophe, said Wolf. But you were going to tell us, apostrophe, oh, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Pip. To be sure. So I was. At first he was dumb, sewn up, dead, sir, but after a minute he said to the Duke, here's Pip. Ask Pip. Pip's our mutual friend. Ask Pip. He knows. Damn, said the Duke, I appeal to Pip then. Come, Pip. Bandy or not bandy. Speak out. Bandy, your grace, by the Lord Harry, said one. Ha, ha, laughed the Duke. To be sure she is. Bravo, Pip. Well, said Pip. I wish I may die, if you're not a trump, Pip. Pop me down among your fashionable visitors whenever I'm in town, Pip. And so I do, to this day. Apostrophe, the conclusion of this story gave immense satisfaction, which was in no degree lessened by the announcement of dinner. Jonas repaired to the dining room, along with his distinguished host, and took his seat at the board between that individual and his friend the doctor. The rest fell into their places like men who were well accustomed to the house, and dinner was done full justice to, by all parties. It was a good A1 as money or credit, no matter which, could produce. The dishes, wines, and fruits were of the choicest kind. Everything was elegantly served. The plate was gorgeous. Mr. Jonas was in the midst of a calculation of the value of this item alone, when his host disturbed him. A glass of wine? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Jonas, who had had several glasses already. As much of that as you like. It's too good to refuse. Apostrophe, well said, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Wolf. Tom Gag, upon my soul. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Pip. Positively, you know, that's ha, ha, ha. Apostrophe, apostrophe, observed the doctor, laying down his knife and fork for one instant, and then going to work again. Pell-mell, that's epigrammatic. Quite. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you're tolerably comfortable, I hope. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tig, apart to Jonas. Oh. You needn't trouble your head about me, apostrophe, he replied, famous. I thought it best not to have a party, apostrophe, said Tig. You feel that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, what do you call this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Jonas. You don't mean to say you do this every day, do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear fellow, apostrophe, said Montague, shrugging his shoulders, every day of my life, when I dine at home. This is my common style. It was of no use having anything uncommon for you. You'd have seen through it. You'll have a party? Said Crimple. No, I won't, I said. He shall take us in the rough. And pretty smooth too, ecod. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Jonas, glancing round the table. This don't cost a trifle. Apostrophe, why, to be candid with you, it does not, apostrophe, returned the other. But I like this sort of thing. It's the way I spend my money. Apostrophe, Jonas thrust his tongue into his cheek, and said, was it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, when you join us, you won't get rid of your share of the profits, in the same way? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tig. Quite different, apostrophe, retorted Jonas. Well, and you're right, apostrophe, said Tig, with friendly candor. You need. It's not necessary. One of a company must do it to hold the connection together. But, as I take a pleasure in it, that's my department. You don't mind dining expensively at another man's expense, I hope? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a bit, apostrophe, said Jonas. Then I hope you'll often dine with me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Jonas, I don't mind. On the contrary. Apostrophe, and I'll never attempt to talk business to you over wine, I take my oath, apostrophe, said Tig. Oh, deep, deep, deep of you this morning. I must tell them that. They're the very men to enjoy it. Pip, my good fellow, I've a splendid little trait to tell you of my friend Chuzzlewit, who is the deepest dog I know. I give you my sacred word of honor, he is the deepest dog I know, Pip. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Pip swore a frightful oath that he was sure of it already, and the anecdote, being told, was received with loud applause as an incontestable proof of Mr. Jonas's greatness. Pip, in a natural spirit of emulation, then related some instances of his own depth, and Wolf, not to be left behind, and recited the leading points of one or two vastly humorous articles he was then preparing. These lucubrations, being of what he called a warm complexion, apostrophe, were highly approved, and all the company agreed that they were full of point. Men of the world, my dear sir, apostrophe, Jobling whispered to Jonas, thorough men of the world. To a professional person like myself, it's quite refreshing to come into this kind of society. It's not only agreeable, and nothing can be more agreeable, but it's philosophically improving. It's character, my dear sir, character. Apostrophe, it is so pleasant to find real merit appreciated, whatever its particular walk in life may be, that the general harmony of the company was doubtless much promoted by their knowing that the two men of the world were held in great esteem by the upper classes of society, and by the gallant defenders of their country in the army and navy, but particularly the former. The least of their stories had a colonel in it. Lords were as plentiful as oaths, and even the blood royal ran in the muddy channel of their personal recollections. Mr. Chuzzlewit didn't know him, I'm afraid, apostrophe, said Wolf, in reference to a certain personage of illustrious descent who had previously figured in a reminiscence. No, apostrophe, said Tig. But we must bring him into contact with this sort of fellows. Apostrophe, he was very fond of literature, apostrophe, observed Wolf. Was he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tig. Oh, yes. He took my paper regularly for many years. Do you know he said some good things now and then? He asked a certain Viscount, who's a friend of mine, Pip knows him, what's the editor's name, what's the editor's name? Wolf. Wolf, eh? Sharp biter, Wolf. We must keep the wolf from the door, as the proverb says. It was very well. And being complimentary, I printed it. Apostrophe, but the Viscount's the boy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Pip, who invented a new oath for the introduction of everything he said. The Viscount's the boy. He came into our place one night to take her home, rather slewed, but not much, and said, where's Pip? I want to see Pip. Produce Pip. What's the row, my lord? Shakespeare's an infernal humbug, Pip. What's the good of Shakespeare, Pip? I never read him. What the devil is it all about, Pip? There's a lot of feet in Shakespeare's verse, but there aren't any legs worth mentioning in Shakespeare's plays, are there, Pip? Juliet, Desdemona, Lady Macbeth, and all the rest of them, whatever their names are, might as well have no legs at all, for anything the audience know about it, Pip. Why, in that respect they're all Miss Biffins to the audience, Pip. I'll tell you what it is. What the people call dramatic poetry is a collection of sermons. Do I go to the theater to be lectured? No, Pip. If I wanted that, I'd go to church. What's the legitimate object of the drama, Pip? Human nature. What are legs? Human nature. Then let us have plenty of leg pieces, Pip, and I'll stand by you, my buck. And I am proud to say, apostrophe added Pip, that he did stand by me, handsomely. Apostrophe, the conversation now becoming general, Mr. Jonas's opinion was requested on this subject, and as it was in full accordance with the sentiments of Mr. Pip, that gentleman was extremely gratified. Indeed, both himself and Wolf had so much in common with Jonas, that they became very amicable, and between their increasing friendship and the fumes of wine, Jonas grew talkative. It does not follow in the case of such a person, that the more talkative he becomes, the more agreeable he is. On the contrary, his merits show to most advantage, perhaps, in silence. Having no means, as he thought, of putting himself on an equality with the rest, but by the assertion of that depth and sharpness on which he had been complimented, Jonas exhibited that faculty to the utmost, and was so deep and sharp that he lost himself in his own profundity, and cut his fingers with his own edge tools. It was especially in his way and character to exhibit his quality at his entertainer's expense, and while he drank of his sparkling wines, and partook of his monstrous profusion, to ridicule the extravagance which had set such costly fare before him. Even at such a wanton board, and in such more than doubtful company, this might have proved a disagreeable experiment, but that Tig and Crimple, studying to understand their man thoroughly, gave him what license he chose, knowing that the more he took, the better for their purpose. And thus while the blundering cheat gull that he was, for all his cunning thought himself rolled up hedgehog fashion, with his sharpest points towards them, he was, in fact, betraying all his vulnerable parts to their unwinking watchfulness. Whether the two gentlemen who contributed so much to the doctor's philosophical knowledge, by the way, the doctor slipped off quietly, after swallowing his usual amount of wine, put at their cue distinctly from the host, or took it from what they saw and heard, they acted their parts very well. They solicited the honor of Jonas's better acquaintance, trusted that they would have the pleasure of introducing him into that elevated society in which he was so well qualified to shine, and informed him, in the most friendly manner, that the advantages of their respective establishments were entirely at his control. In a word, they said, be one of us. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and Jonas said he was infinitely obliged to them, and he would be, adding within himself, that so long as they stood treat, apostrophe, there was nothing he would like better. After coffee, which was served in the drawing room, there was a short interval, mainly sustained by Pip and Wolf, of conversation, rather highly spiced and strongly seasoned. When it flagged, Jonas, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.